Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody who knows this song, sing along.
Oh, yeah. Anybody that knows this song, which most of you do, you're welcome to sing along. So if you all stand up.
Hope you're all doing well. Hope that you're
I guess, you know, like we've been having a lot of Sundances. It looks like we finally got through the deal. And I'm going to miss that. You go to Sundances when you, for days, all you hear is them songs, you know, ringing in your ear. I love it, you know. Anyway, I don't know, maybe there's some more, but over here, I'm pretty sure we're done over here. It's like I was going to like 4 Sundances in a row, you know, and well, not dancing, but you know, just going and supporting and helping out and this and that, but just being there, you know, that's pretty much had me. I mean, when I got done the last one, see, I still hear them songs, beats, you know. So I really appreciate that, you know. And let me see. I was just looking at some of the, Hank Means was talking about there's going to be a march in Pierre for the removal of our history in South Dakota schools on Monday, September 13. So, you know, Christy Nome and them, they're trying to, they don't want no history about us in their schools, you know, corrupt a white man's school, you know, something like that. Anyway, so that's September 13th. I have to keep that in mind. So AIM's going to be there. Our Lakota AIM brothers and AIM family is going to be up there. So if you're in the area, go up there, support or help them out, you know. And I was just looking at some things, you know, and trying to see if there was anything I missed from last week. Anyway, I'm sure everybody already signed up for their stimulus on the res. So I seen a big long line over there a couple of times, you know, and I mean went over there and them guys were all having their tails wagging, you know, standing in lines. Anyway, see what happens. Fill out the application, see if it comes, you know. See if it's for real. Can't believe it until you see it. But like I said, you know, it's been a real busy 3 or 4 weeks of Sundances, and what gets me is, you know, we have these Sundances and they're there to pray, and of course last week we had the biker rally up there, and a lot of Indians would rather go up there and hang out with the Washichu than come down and be with our people. I'll be getting into that in a little bit here. I was looking at the black people. They're studying a language called Tut. You know, I didn't hear no videos of it or nothing, but they're trying to get their own language going, you know. So there was a language the slaves spoke back in the day so no one could understand them. And it was just twisted up English, I guess, you know, but they call it Tut. So they're trying to get their own language. And it's good for people to have their own language. You know, this English language is well, you know how it is. It never sounds good, a lot of vulgarity in it, you know. F word every other word, you know. then this, they always flipping the bird, you know. I was laughing at, they had pictures of natives flipping the bird, and every one of them looked like they thought it's cool. And I made a comment on it and kind of got attacked. They said, it's just a way of expression, you know, and blah, 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 you know. But I said, that's a colonized way of expression, you know. I mean, did your grandma ever do that? Well, maybe theirs did, but, you know, my grandma never, she wouldn't even know how to do that, you know. So a lot of things, you know, maybe I'm just too damn old or something, but like I said, my father, the worst word I ever heard him say was, ah, damn it, you know. But I never heard the F word or nothing till, you know, we were in relocation, went to California, and then started hearing that word and other words too, you know. And, you know, became everyday normal thing. And sometimes when you talk, the F word just slips out. Everybody's using it all the time. But when I think about it, you know, there's no need to use that. You know, there's no need for our people to use those words. We need to get away from it. Since we can't talk, you know, a lot of our people can't talk their own language, at least try to do, if you're going to talk English, try to talk English, you know, without that vulgarity, you know. And quit trying to sound like, hey, y'all, you know. That ain't us either. You know, what it is, you know. That ain't us either. I mean, what's going on? But, you know, our people really change. They change real bad, you know. And I was thinking about, you know, what's going on in Afghanistan, how all them Afghanistan people are trying to haul ass out of there because the Taliban went back. And, you know, and I seen a American U.S. jets hauling like 600 or 700 Afghanistan's out at a time, pack these planes and hauling them out. I don't know where they're taking them to. But, you know, I was thinking how the same American was marching us across the country, Trail of Tears, all of that, you know. They weren't trying to help us out. They were trying to get rid of us and still are. You know, all that money they're spending on other people, they don't give us nothing. We don't have a thing coming from them, you know. I seen my bro John Davis on the chat. He was joking around, you know. He said he's going to run for president. I was laughing. I said, yeah, if he ran for president, he's one of them non-Indians that at least probably might put us back on the front burner, you know. But no matter who runs for president, they don't care about us. You know, like I said, I've been through 13 presidents. About, I'll say 11 of them. I started remembering presidents speaking, probably Eisenhower, and then Kennedy and Nixon. I was young, and I remember. And they all had these big speeches about how they're going to help the country. You know, they all have the same line. It's just another voice, another creature's face saying it, you know. They all have the same lines coming out of it, you know. And then I noticed these tribal leaders do the same thing, you know? So, in other words, since, I'll say, the end of the 50s, when was when I was old enough to start being aware of who runs the country. So all these years, I've never seen no change for our people. I see our people getting more and more like them, you know, getting more and more like them. And then our tribal governments are the same way. When I was young, you know, most of the people in the tribal governments, they all talk Lakota and everything, you know, and it was all relatives and the judges, everybody was, you know, and it wasn't trying to be not so much Washichu. They ran around with, you know, little white boy haircuts and all that. But when you went to court, it was probably an uncle in court. Hey, don't come back here, and I'm going to tell your mom that you need to be punished, you know. Anyway, all these judges, they knew our family, they were relatives. But nowadays, everybody acts like a white boy, you know. They go to, you know, every Indian acts like a white boy. And our people idolize the American white boy. Really bad. Like these Indian cops, go check them out. They're trying to dress like the cops in the city, tightening up their shirt sleeves so they can show some biceps, you know, walking around shaving their head off, wearing sunglasses, looking mean, you know, hand on the gun, you know, and bullies, you know. There's a couple cops that I see still have some long hair. I bet you the rest of the cops don't like them or they're not trusted. But basically, and you go to the tribe, all the councilmen and all them, they're imitating the white guy, you know, every way you can, even down to wearing suits, putting their feet on the desk, you know. Driving fancy cars, you know. They don't care about us having propane, us having land, us having homes, you know, us having health care or anything, as long as they get their check. And when you hear them talk, when they have radio broadcasts and them talking, you hear them really trying to use big fancy words like the Washichu, you know. You know, and it's the same old baloney. You know, it's like they're scared to talk about our freedom. They're scared to talk about our treaties. They're scared to talk about learning how to do without the Washichu. And then the American, on the other hand, they're on the same mission, you know, like war, you know. And, yeah, of course, Biden moved out of Afghanistan, but they shouldn't have been there anyway. You know, why the hell are they there, you know? And you see, all them Afghanistan people are heading, they're scared for their life. Why? The reason why is because that's their country. They had their own rulers. But when the white man went over there and started attacking them, they didn't fight against the white man. They started helping the white man fight against their own people, you know. And you can say, oh, well, they did that because their rulers were evil. Their rulers were this or their rulers were that. You could say that. But it's the same over here. Our rulers are evil. Our rulers are this and that. Our police are killing people, shooting them left and right. Our people are doing the same thing over here. Not my people, these Americans, you know. So the Americans got all them Afghanistan people to turn on their own government. You know, so That's Afghanistan. Those are Afghanistan people. They talk their language. They're over there. That's where their blood is. But they turned against their own kind for the American. So now the Americans leaving them. So what are they going to do? They better haul ass. Ain't that the way it is? Ain't that the way it is? When you turn on your own kind and it don't work out, what are you going to do? Try to squeeze back in the picture? It's too late. You better haul ass out and join them Americans wherever they run into. And that's what's going on over there. You know, these Afghan people helped them, and some of them still are. Yeah, they have dreams to come over to this country. Everybody has a dream to come to this country. And maybe it is good, but before this country takes care of them, they ought to finish trying to help us out. They ain't helping us out. We don't get no businesses. We don't get nothing. But that's what they do. The American goes to countries and get them to turn on their own leaders, turn on their own people. And it works sometimes if they have regime change. But sometimes it don't work, you know. Sometimes, you know, you're a traitor to your own kind, so they come catch you and hang you or whatever, you know. Of course women are scared. They lived their way of life for thousands of years. Women had their place, men had their place. But now, since the American in the West has such a big influence, they want to be like Americans. So they don't want to. In other words, they've given up their culture. And the same thing with us. Our women, our kids are giving up their culture to be American. And we have people, you know. And you know, I get real upset because our people have a culture. And like I said, we just got done Sundancing, having spiritual time this summer. And you see Indians all around the country. They don't care about this. They don't care about Native spirituality. Some of them run around with chanupas and everything. They slap on feathers. And now they're slapping on these ribbon dresses. But on top of the ribbon dresses, they're wearing other stuff, wearing 50 AIM patches, wearing French berets, you know. But the bottom half is spiritual, but the top half is something else. You know what I mean? They don't see it. They don't know it because they don't live it. They don't know nothing about this culture. You got all them people out there attacking Indians. You know, one is my niece. I have family in California. Some of them lived over there so long, people don't know they're from here. And then these nobodies get over and start calling them fakes and frauds and all that. But these nobodies don't have no tribal identity. They can't prove where they're from. And then some of them are lying. You know, and some of them try to join, get involved in some kind of Native action like AIM or something, you know, and they don't even know how to act. So everything's modern times, you know. When the American Indian Movement started, it was because police brutality. Now American Indian Movement's trying to be friends with the police. You know, now American Indian Movement's trying to be pro-American government, you know, and trying to run their outfit like American government, trying to play God with positions, having white man's titles, you know, president, director, You know, we don't have that. You know, we have Itacha. We have different names for our leaders, Ate, Unchi, you know. Our leaders are elders, carriers of wisdom. We don't call our grandpa president, you know, or something like that. And then we have our spiritual way. And our spiritual way is really diminishing. You know, it gets me because we just had the biker rally up there in the Black Hills, and our people were protesting it, you know, because our Black Hills are just getting abused. Bear Butte, Devil's Tower, all these sacred places, you know, drugs, alcohol, sex. You know, all these things are up there. So, you know, our people are protesting it up there for years. But how do you protest something when a biker's passing by and got an Indian woman riding behind them and they're just laughing at you like you're a fool for standing out there? How do you fight them when your own people are up there with them riding their bikes around? How do you fight that? When your own people are sitting up there making you look like a fool, you know, how do you do that? You know, we're trying to preserve traditional culture, spirituality, and everything. And then you see them up there, not just riding with them, but dressed like them, wearing leather vests, 50 patches, trying to look tough, sunglasses, and the women. You know, wearing those chaps, bikers wearing boots, you know, older women that should be, you know, some of them are already grandparents, you know, and then they're in the fighting mood all the time. They're in the fighting mood. All these people that run with the white man, that hang out with the white man, and do everything that they do, run around trying to be violent, trying to be, start trouble with peaceful Indians, you know? And that ain't right. But they turn around and try to act like, no, we're not. No, we're up there for MMIW. Well, come find out. You go check MMIW. They don't even have no leadership. It's just a bunch of people doing it, but some over here, some over there, you know, they don't have the right hand telling the left hand what to do or nothing. It ain't like the way AIM was on the same mission. You know, how do you claim, how do you represent murdered, missing indigenous women or people trafficking when you take somebody 1,300 miles from home, and then accuse them of ripping you off and then boot them out? First, call the cops on them and then boot them out and then go home and leave somebody up there. And then they say, oh, well, they stole from me. Sound like a good excuse, huh? Sound like a good excuse to dump somebody, to dump a 50-year-old woman that has Parkinson's disease and has a catheter in their arm to their heart, to a monitor to check their pacemaker. You dump someone like that up there, and then tell everybody she's not Lakota, tell everybody she's a fraud, when you're the one that ain't got no tribal representative? Yeah, because you sit on some Indian's couch, does that make you their tribe? I seen them, she was in the house in the picture with somebody that was her mother, when their mother's gone.
anyway, let me see. Am I still here? Moving around too much here.
Are you still there? Can you hear me? Am I back? Give me a signal here. Okay. Anyway, yeah, I have this hooked up. But you see what I'm saying? What I'm saying is, if you come with me and I take you even 50 miles from home and we meet up with some people and those people accuse you of ripping them off, what are you going to do? Well, since you came with me, I'm going to back you up. And I'm going to, you know, I'm going to argue with them saying, no, 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 or whatever. And then talk to you later. Did you do that? Or blah, blah, blah. You know, when you come with me, I'm going to back you up to the hilt. And that's the normal way you help your own people. You know, that's how you do it. And the other thing is, let's prove it, you know, and getting accused of somebody's crying around saying, oh, they was trying to traffic me. Who the hell wants to traffic you? And how the hell, what are you talking about? Let's prove this. They call the cops on a woman, and the woman, and the woman, goes to jail, but the cops let him out because the story is so unbelievable. And all this talk, nobody's explaining how the hell somebody got, this is all over a cell phone. All over a cell phone. Remember that lady accused a little black kid of stealing their phone? That's what happened here. But there's a explanation. There's another side to the story, and I heard it. And it makes more sense than the one they're talking about. But the point is, I know they're listening. We were out of Sundance. We were having ceremonies. People you know. And what did you do? You chose to run with the Washichu up there. You chose that. And you can say all what you want. That, no, I was with Indians. I was with Natives. Yeah, well, the Natives you were with, the whole crew you were in, you were all running with the Washichu. So you can say I was with the Indians, but then all the Indians were with the Washichu. I see the videos. And the other thing, getting on Facebook and doing these live feeds, you know, all you want to do is get people to jump on your side and talk about me or somebody else. Thought we used to be friends. But now you're satisfied to get a whole bunch of idiots to talk bad about me, to talk bad about her, to talk bad about us, and call us all frauds. And using my name, somebody saying, yeah, that Wam Lee guy, you know, using my name. How about if I just use your name right now? How about if I talk about all of you? How about if I mention all you people's names and everything that came down? How about if I just tell everybody everything I know about you? How about if I do that? You see, I got more class than you do, than you ever dreamed of, because I'm going to save you. I'm going to save you. But the thing about it is actually, I don't need to mention your name because everybody knows who I'm talking about, because you're the ones made a big scene. You're the ones put on the big crying performance and acting like everybody should believe you, saying, I'm a spiritual man. Since I'm a spiritual man, I'm supposed to believe you? You know what? We're natives. You don't attack natives. And when you are told that somebody's my relative, when we're relatives, then you protect my relative. If you're going to haul my relative across the country, you protect my relative, tooth and nail. Because I didn't want you to haul my relative across the country. That was you chose that. Don't be telling people, oh, he made me, he did this, he did that. Don't be telling nobody that, because that ain't what happened. I didn't even know you took a relative of mine. And I thought you were good enough that I could have my relative communicate with you for guidance. For assistance to help out or to help you out, to work together. Because I thought you were somebody that could do that. But that was wrong, because you ain't that somebody. You ain't that special friend. Instead, you drag my relative across the country and dump her. And tell everybody she ain't Indian, she ain't Lakota, you don't even know her name, you don't know nothing. And you and your buddies, all of you, one of your buddies was praying, oh, they took her to jail, so they must have heard our prayers. So they were praying to take my relative to jail. They were praying. You don't pray to God to have him help you whip somebody's ass, to help to turn him over to the Washichu and all this stuff. You don't do that. I mean, where the hell are your morals there? That's your morals went up to Sturgis with them Washichu. So you had those kind of morals when you start accusing, when you start calling cops, when you start doing this and that and leaving somebody on the street, you know, sad, depressed, and then having a video and saying, look, she's guilty. Look at her. She's guilty. She's guilty. Look at her face. You know, how would you feel if you were in a motel room getting cornered by three people, loudmouths, one of them filming you, and the other two are hollering at you? You're going to keep your mouth shut too and try to get the hell out of there, pack your bags and get out, since they told you to get the F, you told them to get the F out of the room, accused them of thieving, and told them to get the F out, so following orders. Just like following orders when the phone disappeared, making somebody pack up everything because you're too lazy or you're trying to make a servant out of somebody. Anyway, I would just say that. But don't you people out there take somebody 1,000 miles away from home and make them walk back. Don't you do that. Tell me you're working for MMIW or working against trafficking. What if this woman got murdered, got raped, got picked up because she was out in the streets? She had to hang out at a hospital waiting room emergency because she didn't have no place to go. What if something happened to her? And, you know, and then some man saying, oh, she's telling the truth. I was there. Of course you're going to back her up so she don't boot you out or something. I don't know what your trip is, but I don't know how any man could do that either. You know, men are supposed to take care of women. So what kind of man going to be there and make a woman walk back 1,300 miles? You know? Anyway, I know you're hearing this, and I ain't mentioning your name, you know? I'm giving you a pass on that because I could, since you were out there mentioning my name, since you were out there mentioning her name, since you were out there mentioning our names. But who's the one that's got class and who's the one got low class? And with that, I'm going to open up a couple lines and you guys can change the subject. You can do whatever you want, you know. We can talk about something else, you know. I have Philip and Jennifer open right now. And, you know, sorry about that rant I went on. But, you know, the thing is, you know, these are Indian issues. And Indians are losing their way. When some Indians start attacking another Indian, accusing them of something, you know, let's prove it. Sure. And plus they're digging in. I ain't going to tell you the rest of the story about who the thieves really were, you know, but there's more to the story about the woman getting accused. They digging in her bag too, you know. Since the cops took her, got her cuffed up, digging her bag and then tell the cops, oh, here's hers. This belongs to her too, or whatever, you know. Anyway, it's a shame that we have this kind of conflicts in our culture because
yep.
These people want to run around and represent things just to be there, you know, leave their kids at home and then run up there, have three people help them slide on a pair of tight jeans because they're so tight they can't get on. So three people have to help put them on her so she can look sexy for the bikers. You know, we got people that totally lost it, and they're running around representing MMIW. And I talked to a few of these leaders of MMIW, and a lot of them, you know, they're on different pages or they're this and that, you know. And a lot of them, some of them are seriously took up the fight. You know, for this, I don't know what fight, but they're trying to help find missing, murdered, missing, endangered. And then there's some that just join in on these events, like go to Sturgis events. You know, good excuse to go to Sturgis. Could do the event June 25th, but to do it during the bike rally, sound like they just want to be at the bike rally, right? You know? I mean, they could have been over there with us praying since they supposedly know us and since they supposedly call us relatives when we're really not. But since they're doing that, why, you know, they could have come and got some spirituality instead of going up there and getting scandal.
You got that.
But go
right.
Ahead, Jennifer. Go ahead, Jennifer and Philip, whatever's on your mind. It's all right with me.
Ladies first. Go for it, Jennifer.
Hey, good evening. Yeah. Those are pretty good issues. I know our family lives in a glass house, and you know, we get a lot of stones thrown at us too, and dissing us all kinds of ways sometimes, where they have high expectations of us, and because we are a spiritual Chinupa family, and that makes it worse because people act like we can't make mistakes or be human. And, you know, there's times criticized and judged in ways that is very hurtful, in trashing our name and trashing just because of certain people's personality, I guess, is trying to their own. They should just, you know, watch out what they're doing themselves.
Okay. Good night.
Trying to make themselves look better or something like that. So I get it. I mean, I see a lot of things, and we get irritated by people that come in and act like they know more than our people, and we're trying to teach them something in a helpful way. But you know, we try to be open and still, regardless what they say about us or attack us or treat us, you know, we still pray for them. We wish them
exactly.
Healing. Yeah, we still go to Sundances, and we still do vision quests and all of that to sacrifice ourselves so our people will live. And it's including everybody that, you know, is on the wrong road, dark road. And I am very scared of them, because right now mankind is on the brink of self-destruction, especially with this climate change countdown. Scientists are estimating 10 years for people that aren't living in a good way. But I have faith. I know our people will still go through. We can walk through that fire with that Chinupa. That's how strong we are. And we'll suffer probably a little bit, but I know spirits are always going to help us. But we got it. It's critical that we stay close to the ceremonies. And I posted that today, especially. I just wanted to remind people we really need to continue going into ceremonies and getting those instructions from the spirits, not by a man, because we need to know how to do things. If there's, you know, we got all this drought and fires and all kinds of stuff going on. And I went and had a eye exam recently, and I was getting cataracts about maybe a year and a half ago, but I started sitting in the sun, praying to the sun, and my eyes closed, and they went away. And when I had my eyes checked, he said, your eyes are fine. They're healthy. They're not, they don't have any signs of glaucoma or cataracts or anything. And I'm like, yeah, I know. but that's one of the mysteries that we carry, is knowing to be friends with the sun. Right now it's crucial with needing that vitamin D from it, not the pills. So there's a lot of myriad of levels that we understand things in depth. And when I talked to the animal control lady, in the end, after she closed the case, I just told her, I hope you'll seriously listen to what us indigenous people have to say. Because everything I told you, you know, we're advanced. We have advanced medicine. We have advanced science. We have all these things, and we're in a critical time right now to be bickering and doing all this other stuff. We really need to come together and be one mind. My dad talks about that a lot in his films. So that was just my little pieces of my two cents and everything that was. But yeah, I get you, Wombly, that when people are talking about your relatives in such a way, they better have a way of backing it up too, because you're not only dissing me, comes with me are my children. It's like that. When you hit one of us, you hit all of us. And not only my children, but I have umpteen relatives. And it used to be that my brothers would think that my sisters were really kind of the ones that you had to watch out for. It's like, never mind my brothers. You got to watch out for my sisters.
You know what cracks me up? What cracks me up is like I remember hearing certain AIM guys that I know. They'll say on Facebook, "Do you know this guy? This name? Do you know this guy? Who is he? Anybody know who he is? I think he's a fraud," or start, you know, somebody off on Facebook. You know, they do that. But how about the one who's doing this? The one doing it is a damn fraud. Because the one that's mostly doing this, I know this person. He ain't got no tribal identity. He ain't got no ID card. Ain't got all this stuff, but always, you know, don't know nothing about Lakota, but always, you know, putting his 2 cents in it. And the same way in this case, you know, there's people on Facebook over there saying, "Do you know this girl? She's a fraud. Anybody know her? Rah, rah, rah." And, you know, they got, they're all friends of this person, you know? And she just left it. I thought she was our friend. You know, if someone's talking about my friend, I'm going to tell them, "Hey, you know, you shut up. Or let's talk about this some other kind of way," you know? But no, they bring this up on Facebook just so they can hear a bunch of idiots talk bad about you and feel good that somebody else is putting you down. And then they say, "Look, everybody's talking about Wong Lee. Everybody. But it's only a bunch of sellouts, a bunch of nobodies, a bunch of fakers and frauders and drunks and whatever else, you know? You know, like in this case, picking on somebody that has Parkinson's disease, you know, I don't mean to, you know, it doesn't mean she's not intelligent. She's an intelligent woman, but keeps her mouth shut. And tries not to fight, and tries not to even defend herself, you know? And there's people like that. My people, Lakotas, a lot of them are like that, you know? They get quiet when you start accusing them of stuff. They don't know what the hell to do. We could jump up and say, "Hey, that's a lie, rah, rah, rah," and start busting people up. But when the person that brought you 1,300 miles away from home is attacking you 1,300 miles away from home, are you going to try to fight this person? You're hoping to get it going so you can get back home safely. Ain't that common sense? I mean, am I wrong?
Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I mean, Philip, if me and two of my bros got you 1,300 miles away from home and you ain't got no money and we start getting on your shit, how are you going to deal with it? Your only way home is with us, so you're going to try to mellow it out and try not to upset, you know? I mean, it's common sense, you know? But in their brain, and their little pea brain and elephant ass, you know, they think when you ain't defending yourself like that, you're guilty. You know? And these are natives. These are natives. That's why I hate to say this, but Jennifer knows this, and I don't mean to insult nobody. But that's why my people, Jennifer, you heard the word Toka, right?
Yeah.
Toka.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we call other tribes Toka. It ain't a bad word, but what it means is untrustable people. You know what I mean? I mean, if they ain't Toka, you're going to call them Kola or something else. You know what I mean? But, or even a relative to Ushi or something, you know? But you see, that's why it's hard for us to trust people, because they have a whole different look on life, especially when they're living in some big city or living away, and we're never living around this way of life, like spirituality, Sundances, and blah, blah. Yeah, just because they Sundance 1 year, that'll make them knowing everything. They're just doing it so they can tell people, yeah, I'm a Sundancer, you know. That's why they show up. I was in Sturgis. I'm doing this. I was in blah, blah, blah. I was in Standing Rock. You know, they do stuff just to boast about. But there's no meaning in it. I know a whole bunch of my relatives and people that were in Standing Rock. And you don't see them on Facebook even talking about it every day. They moved on. They got a whole bunch of different things going on. You know what I mean? I mean, I have a bunch of different things going on. Went to Standing Rock, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I don't, that's it, you know? And some people, just like this line three, I have friends that were up there, went to jail, got their car, blah, blah, blah. You know, you don't see them boasting about that for every day, forever. You know? But these people run around boasting. And when you're going to run around and brag some native pride, talk about native pride, and you throw out somebody 1,300 miles away from home, you know, that's crazy. You know, I mean, I hope nobody jumps in your car no more. You know, if that's the kind of person, you know, I remember a couple of my bros, they took off together on a long trip. They went to California or something. They started fighting on their way to California. And when they came back, they were still fighting, but they didn't boot each other out. You know what I mean? And sometimes when stuff happens, like when you're in a camp with each other or something, and you're hurrying up to leave and you're grabbing stuff, sometimes you end up with somebody else's item or property, or sometimes end up with yours. I mean, I ended up with people's sweat towels, you know. I didn't steal the sweat towel, just ended up with it. Somebody ended up with, but never my cell phone. How the hell someone gets your cell phone? You must have threw it over there so they can take it, you know. Are you that, what kind of person are you? When you're in an environment away from home and stuff, you're just going to throw your phone around? That's why the cops didn't. And then accusing this poor woman of trafficking. Oh, she was trying to traffic me. Traffic you for what? You know? Traffic you for what? Do you think you're so fine you can be trafficked? You know, you think you're so high up in the sky that somebody's going to traffic you? I mean, you know, unbelievable accusations. We are a people, and like Jennifer says, when we go someplace together, we need to stick together. When we're on a mission, we need to stay together and be on this. And make sure, you know, if there's a misunderstanding or some kind of suspicion, you know, you need to work through it without that kind of scandal. And then, without calling the cops, it ain't like she pulled a gun and was robbing them, so they call the cops. When they call the cops on her, they already had the phone back. You know? But they call the cops just to say, she stole my phone, after they already got it back. You know? You know? That's a bunch of people lacking brain development there. And they got no business serving MMIW, supporting any kind of trafficking, anything that natives are doing. Nobody should have these people anywhere around anything they have going, because that's the kind of people they are. You're representing MMIW, and then you boot a 50-year-old woman with Parkinson's disease and pacemaker out of the street. What is that? She could be MMIW too, because you got her out there. That's like throwing a little duck out in the interstate and hoping no truck runs over it. You know? It really gets me that people are like that. But let's keep in mind the good that comes out of some of these things. You know, there's, for every bad thing we go through, some good comes out of it. So the good came out of it was the woman made it home. People helped her get home. Some good people helped her get home. And also, while she was back on the res, she got to take care of tribal business, and she met her whole family. They didn't see her for 17 years or 18 years. So they were here, and some took her around, meet more relatives and this and that, and got, she got reconnected with Oyate, you know? So that was the good that happened for her, you know. But she also ran out of medication and stuff like that. I know she's all right now. She made it back. But there was some good that came out of it. And there's always something good that comes out of something wicked, you know. So they treated her wickedly, but she got something better out of it. And that happens a lot of times with people, you know. Sometimes, plus your survival instincts get stronger. But there was good people. I would like to mention names, you know, but these people aren't into having their names. But they help with everything, because they understood. And they knew the deal, you know. So there's always some good that comes out of something. The main thing is people need to learn. Don't get in the car and take off with somebody you met over a bowl of mush. You know, don't do that. You don't know what you could be getting into. They'll accuse you of anything, you know. And they do, you know, and it's better not to do that. And yeah, some people learn their lesson, but what a hell of a way to learn a lesson, you know. And we need to have unity, but the first part of unity is in our circle, you know, this Changleska and the circle, spiritual circle we're in. We need to grasp that and hold on to it and be in that circle where we can pray for each other and know where each other's coming from, you know. When we're in this circle and I see somebody holding a chanupa in this circle, I know they're a good person. They're holding it good. they're doing it right. But outside of the circle, I see people wearing feathers, running around, you know, acting this way and that way. But I know that chalupa means nothing to them. I know that feathers they're wearing means nothing to them. I know they're just wearing it so they could exploit something out of it, you know, be known as a native so somebody else will you can cash in on somebody else, you know. But in our spiritual circle, like what Jennifer's talking about, we're one family in the spiritual circle. We're one family. And like, I seen all these sun dancers. They stopped in, they came, brought their families thousands of miles, came here to pray, and went home. You know, sharing good life together. You know, some of them ain't La Costa. Some are from all over the world, you know, and they're learning about the sacred circle. And that's a beautiful thing. Once you leave that circle and start running and meeting people, you got a good chance of running into the beast, running into something evil, running into something that will dump your ass 1,300 miles from home, accuse you of something you didn't do, look for any way to hurt you.
I got something.
Go ahead, Philip.
Me personally, I think you should mention their name, because if they're involved with MMIW, maybe MMIW needs to know what kind of people they are so they can keep away from them and not have these people at their event. If they're so
you're right.
and easy to put people, put an elderly woman out like that, they're part of the problem.
You know, you're right. And, you know, after this happened, some people from MMIW did contact me. You know, and wanted to know. And I told them. And some of them say, oh, I can't believe they would do that. They seem like they're not. They seem so loyal to us. Wow, you know, and started even kind of trying to defend them, you know. And I said the first thing is that really they're calling everybody else a fake. But is that really their name they're telling you? And second of all, when they tell you they belong to a tribe, are they really from that tribe? You see? But they sure run with people that attack full bloods and attract people that are connected with tribes. You know? So if some leader of MMIW, AIM, or anybody else is gonna still say, I can't believe, I thought they was nice, rah, rah, rah. After, you know, when you go to a door, the front door, and that front door is black, and you go through it and everything else in it's white, sure, you can believe it, you know, go run around and it looks good. But remember when you went through that front door, it was black, you know. It wasn't a white, clean or whatever, pure color either, you know. They forget the first door you enter with a person, is that a decent door you're going through? Who is this person, you know? Do they have family? It's like you, Philip, right away, you have a son. Everybody knows your son. You're always sharing Lucas. You're connected to some reality. You're connected to reality. And yeah, I went and met this person at her home eventually. And I liked it. I accepted it. And I respected it as truth. I had a couple doubts about a tribal affiliation, but you know, if you tell me you're something, I'm going to believe it. You know, I'm not going to call you a liar, but later on down the line, it might come out that something ain't right there. But since I like you so much, I might say, okay, I'm just going to ignore it and hop over that. And sometimes people do that. But when you do that, you can always say, when something's funny coming down, that you know it was expected because something wasn't right about them from the get-go, you know, other than being yeah. nice or having a smile or, you know. We need to have, I mean, natives, us, we all have a connection to reality. And the connection we have to reality is our family, you know. We ain't going to be dumping our kids off, you know, for 2 or 3 months while we run off with another man or another woman, you know, like that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm talking about, and then going back home to your child, you know, and then telling everybody all this and that, you know. The point is,
yep.
the point is, every time you turn around, they're at some big event, but where's their kids at? But you see my bros, they come from Sundance, from Texas, from New York, from California. They come at Sundance. Where's their kids? Their kids are with them. 9 times out of 10, they bring their family or some of their family with them. And if they don't, they're in a hurry to get home, you know. But most of them bring family, you know. And that's how it is.
Well,
you know?
I'll tell you this, because I know this person too, and I don't want to hear from them. If they are listening to this show, take warning. I'm not answering your phone call. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to be associated with people like that.
And that's understandable, you know. I mean, I ain't trying to ruin their everything, but you know what? They sure don't care about me, you know. They're sure over there hollering about me. Some guy saying, yeah, that Wam Lee guy. Rah, rah, rah. And then got nerve to say, if he's so spiritual, how come he don't talk to us? Who are they that I should talk to them? They're nothing but trash, dump too. I ain't got no words to say to them. And I'm glad I don't know people like that. You know, the thing is, when you go out and post on Facebook and everything, and throw smut and slander on somebody, what are you trying to do? You're trying to hurt somebody. You're trying to get everybody to attack this person. Well, me, I don't worry about it because my people ain't attacking me. It's always somebody else, you know? It's always somebody else, someone from Nevada, someone from Iowa or Idaho or wherever, or California, you know, somebody.
Or Central Texas.
Or Central Texas, you know, and Minnesota, you know. But the thing is, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what a Toka does, you know. I live my life over here with my people, you know. And We see each other at Sundance. We see each other in Ipi. We see each other on the road in the store. Or we go visit each other. You know? That's the world we live in. You know? But outside of that, these people don't live that kind of life. They can only meet up when they go on some kind of protest. I'll meet you over there. But you know, they don't have no spiritual event to go visit each other. You know what I mean? You know, go meet each other in Las Vegas. They do that too. Or go meet each other at Disneyland or some fancy park in California while they're having a holiday, you know. They do that. But when you talk about our people, Jennifer, she comes all the way to South Dakota and sweats and participates in events with our people, as well as down there where she lives at, you know, with other Indians in her community, natives, in where she lives at. You know, we all are on the same page. We're on the same thing. You know, we're going to rather be in a sweat lodge, Sundance, or some native event rather than running up north or running to Sturgis to see a bunch of greasy bikers and hang out with all that vulgarity and racism and police and all, you know, all the stuff you see there, you know. When and over there looking at the Washita motorcycle and saying, "That's dope, man," you know, complimenting the Washita on their bikes. "That's dope, man," you know. You know? I mean, why don't you come down here and when somebody's having a nice staff or something, you know, or has a good blanket or has, you know, something good, why don't you be here where you could say, "That's dope," since you use that word, you know? But, you know, the thing, the trip is, it's a mixed-up world out there, and they're not the only ones. There's thousands of them out there. I only know these kind of people, a small number of them, because my Facebook world ain't really that big anymore, and I kind of keep it small, and I block a hell of a lot of people. You know, I don't want nothing to do with them. You know what I mean? So keeping it small. And the thing is, I gave warning, hey, don't do that. Take it off. Don't put that up. You're messing up. Take it off, and time will pass by and we could all be friends again. I stated that. I said that to them. Take it off, we can all, but no, right away. They took that one off, but when they took it off, they were telling all their friends, they made it sound like somebody else took it off. They made it sound like they're so renegade, Facebook took it off. They didn't tell I took it off. But they took it off, but started another one and didn't quit from there. They didn't stop. They kept this thing going. They don't know how to stop. I said, you know, you got to learn to shut your mouth. You know? And this guy, I told him, you know, we can all get along, but you got to stop it now. Well, later on, even this grown adult man over there, making comments on this. Yeah, I was there. They're telling the truth. Just because he says that, when he's the liar too, you know, just because they're using him for his car, just because he got more money to haul a young lady around and look like he's in with the young women? Crazy. But our people can do better than that. They need to get off Facebook and quit all that stuff and start trying to be, oh, one of them, they wear a hat saying, make America native again. Well, how are you going to do that when you're the one dropping people off on the road 1,300 miles? You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like I heard on Facebook somebody's really putting somebody down, but their Lakota name is Chantewashtewi. You know? You know, but they're jamming, starting trouble, but that's their name, you know? Got a Lakota name, saying they got a good heart, you know, and slamming people, you know. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy how people are. But the other side of the picture, you know, we had some Sundances, and I know Jennifer said she was at some too, and them Sundance songs are still ringing in my ear. And, you know, for days, you know, even woke up singing them, you know, singing these songs, you know, they're powerful. And we had a ceremony. We made some of, I tied a feather on somebody, you know, made them a sister. And we have, you know, we have these sacred ceremonies, these hunka ceremonies and all that. We still do them. We still have our seven sacred ceremonies, you know, we still do them, you know, and I'm honored that a lot of tribes come and participate with us. And, you know, we're hanging in there with this. It doesn't matter how many Indians want to go run around with Washichu or want to run around with Americans or run around with the cops or run around with all of them. We still have some people inside our circle that are hardcore, you know, and I'm proud of them, you know. You know, I'm proud of one of my bros. As a matter of fact, from down in Texas, brings his whole family, and they all Sundance, even his sons. They were little boys, but they Sundance, you know. The power mm-hmm. of the spirits is so powerful that where the youth are picking up on this, and people, these youth that go this way, don't ever touch drugs and alcohol when they start out like that young. You know, and that's a good
yeah.
thing. We have a lot of people, and I'm glad. I already miss thinking that there's no Sundance. You still have some around you where you're at, Jennifer?
No, they're pretty much wrapped up for the year. What we do is, like, our circle, we have monthly Yuipis, like on the full moon, year round, to keep in touch with our circle, our Sundancers, and our leaders and supporters. So we're just not the we're not Sundancers just 4 days of the year. We're Sundancers year round, and we're preparing at that. Well, right now our little family is creating a little camp, sort of, where we're going to start having elder gatherings and having a lot. My son is coordinating all of that. He finally got his act together. And so he's doing really good things, leaps and bounds, and promoting youth into participating in these ceremonies more. And I see a really tremendous hope with these young men that have changed their lives around from, you know, criminal activity stuff, gang banging stuff, but they're a group that they're really changing their lives, and so they come together. We got a piece of land that has a camping cabins and all kinds of cool stuff on there, so they're making it happen. So,
well, you see, that's another good point. That's another good point, how it helps troubled people. You know, I myself, you know, didn't start carrying a chanupa till I got out of prison. It reeled me in, and I never went back, you know, 30-something years, you know what I mean? This spiritual way helps our people find their way and grounds them. So that's the other thing, you know. People, it doesn't matter how late you come into it, it helps you. And the other thing you mentioned, you know, like we have our people still have ceremonies once a month, you know, full moon. And there's people that live away. They, you know, New York or wherever, all far away. And, you know, I was talking to some of them, and I said, you know, all year long while they're away, over here we still do our thing. We still have the sweats, you know. Medicine Man still has sweats. All year long, it doesn't stop for us. You know, all year long, we're still doing this, you know. So, like you said, the Sundance over. But Lakota people and people around over here in our environments, you know, on our reservations, we're still living this way all year long, you know. On the sweats, ceremonies or different things, you know, and just being around each other, you know, is a big help, you know. And this is what people need. They need to look and say, wow, you know what, I really messing up here. I need to get back into this. You know, and they need to check themselves and find out and get back in, and maybe there's a way to solve problems or to redeem themselves or get through something or find some truth within themselves. You know, they need to do that. And like you said, we pray for them. When we're at Sundance, when we're at sweats and everything, we pray for all these lost people running all over, trying to find some identity, trying to dress, trying to wear a feather, trying to sing on a drum, you know, if they want to learn to sing on a drum and do it good, they need to come here. you know,
yeah.
They need to get around where it's happening all the time, you know, or, you know, because it's hard to maintain the connection when you're out running around with the wrong people. You know, we need to stay connected with the right people, not somebody wearing motorcycle chaps, you know, not somebody running around over there, someone running over there, and somebody fighting over here. We need to stay connected with the people. And I'll be the first to admit, I'm not no angel. So when you're out there saying, he's supposed to be a spiritual guy, well, I'm not supposed to be. I'll say I'm trying. You know, he's acting like he's a spiritual guy. I'm not acting. I'm just trying. You know what I mean? I'm trying. And I go to an Epi's to sweats or be around my people and, you know, sit with my chanupa around me and all that. You know, I'm not trying to be God. I'm not trying to be Wakantanka. I'm not trying to do none of that. I'm trying my best. That's why in Lakota we say Kewi Chasha. You know, that's the best I can do. And Jennifer knows what I mean. We're trying to be the best we can. That's it. You know, I'm not trying to impress nobody and, you know, trying to act like I'm perfect, because I'm not, you know, by a long shot. But I tell you what, I'd rather be with my people than hang out with bikers or those people up there any damn day. You know what I mean? You tell me we're going to have a UEP, and you tell me there's going to be something over there while Shichu, I'm going to choose the UEP. When I used to have a rock band, I gave up doing concerts so I could be home for Sundance or be home for certain things, you know? That's how I live. Oh, you know, and I hope somebody's learning from, and instead of over there trying to, instead of, now they might be trying to throw concrete in their boxing gloves after hearing this show. But they ought to, rather than that, they ought to just take off the fighting attitude and try to get back into what's real. You know, quit the fighting attitude. Quit the bullying. Quit the crying around. You know, redeem yourself. Accept responsibility for what you've done. You know, tell somebody you're sorry. Yeah. You know, I mean, you don't have to say you're sorry. Just show some remorse for what the hell you done. Where's the remorse? That ain't no remorse by putting that video back up. That video where you set this person up digging in her stuff and cussing them out in front of everybody and accusing them. That ain't remorse. That's trying to add more pain to them. But it's getting old now, you know. It's getting old. But there's always a way to have remorse, because our people, you know, we can say, I'll never talk to them again. But 6 years out of life, hey, how you been doing? You know what I mean? Hey, good to see you again. Haven't seen you since you dumped me out of that car 6 years ago.
Somebody asked me if I was still mad at them.
haven't seen you since you ran off with my woman 4 years ago, you know, and stuff like that, you know. You know, there's always a way back, ain't there, Jennifer?
Yeah, I see it a lot, especially in this way of life. We learn humility.
Yeah, because we're so soft-hearted people, you know. It don't take much. Oh, I hope I don't mind, but I'm going to open up the door here for Julian in San Diego. Julian, how you doing?
Hey, Wombly, I'm doing pretty good. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I'm feeling better, you know. Still a little feisty, but I'm all right, you know. Yeah, but I'm kind of feisty for a reason, you know, because, you know, here we have a lot of Sundances, a prayer season, you know. I mean, man, I love it when we have, you know, the seasons when people are humblecha, you know, praying on the hill, a lot of prayers, a lot of things going on. And then you see scandalous stuff happening. It bothers me because, you know, sometimes we invite people. Here, we're over here. You go, you know, they're saying, yeah, I'll be there. And here they're running someplace else, you know. And, you know, so anyway, I got a little feisty, you know. And but I don't apologize, you know. People need to learn, you know. I ain't the one committed no crime. I ain't the one doing something, you know. So I got no reason to apologize, you know. Anyway, so how you doing, Julian? I really proud of you, Julian, and thank you for everything you do. And, you know, for the people, since I known you, you always been involved in AIM, American Indian Movement. You always represented yourself with dignity, pride, and with a lot of class, Julian. And I ain't seen that stop in you, you know. And same way with Philip and Jennifer and even Layla in Florida up here. She's on, you know. A lot of people live away a certain way of life and they don't leave it, you know. And I appreciate that in people, you know. I mean, some people are good one day and a criminal the next. Or I shouldn't say criminal, but, you know, some something. You know, me, I'm the same all the time. You know what I mean? I ain't looking for no money to steal. I ain't looking for someone to beat up. I ain't looking to hurt nobody. I'm just trying to live and enjoy the spirituality of my people, you know.
Yeah, no, so, I thank you for the comment, you know. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that when I go out to your lands, you know, that you guys still have that. I mean,
yeah.
When I get back home, I feel bad sometimes because, you know, there ain't many places here you could go where there's no hope, no opportunity, you know, no happiness. Not that there isn't any there, but it's just such a hard place. It seems like, you know, I mean, fortunately for us, you know, we got the city right next door. You know, when I go out there, you guys got all your ceremonies, everything still, because you ain't got these neighbors we got. You know,
yeah.
Imagine if you had the city right next door like us, the youth would be right there, and you might not have what you have right now still. You know, so it's kind of a blessing in a way, even though it's a hard way of life. You know, but that hard way of life, it was for us all at one time. You know, we're fortunate. We got casinos out here and things, you know, that help us out. You know, but then again, being fortunate to have a casino doesn't mean you have a good life. It's what you make out of it. You know, what you do with that money. You know, like, you know, I appreciate, you know, I've always done things for my people, our people, Indian people. You know, I don't care to jump the fence and help out, as you say, the Washishu. You know, I don't care for their ways, even though I live right next door, you know, and I'm no angel. I'm far from it. You know, I used to drink, do all that
yeah.
stuff, but, you know, it's been a long time now. You know, almost 33 years since I put anything up my nose. You know, I haven't had a drink since I went out to Standing Rock. And that wasn't by choice. That's just on the path I am that it just hasn't happened, you know. And, you know, just like, you know, I like going out there. You know, I like being there. You know, I like the way of life out there. And, you know, I try to go out there and help people. But, man, I have a friend. He's a carpenter. He goes out there with me. I tell him, we can't take enough nails to Pine Ridge, South Dakota, you know, because there's always going to be work. But that's okay. You know, I'll go out there and still do whatever I can. You know, and that's all out of my pocket. You know, I don't got GoFundMes. You know, I don't ask for people for money. You know, I share what I got, you know, and that's okay with me.
Uh-huh.
That's what helps me sleep good at night. And that's what it comes down to, is what makes you sleep well. You know, it ain't the money you have in the bank. It ain't the material things you have. It's what you've done in life. And I was fortunate to have both parents on the reservation. And my dad worked, and my mom's, ever since I was young, you know, oh, take these to the church. And I'm not a church person. That's a whole other show, I imagine. But, you know, take it to New Mexico, to the people over there. Take it to Arizona. And so I take and deliver these clothes when I was a young kid. And my parents just put that in me. And, you know, I still continue that day in my lifestyle and what I do. And that's what makes me happy, you know. And it ain't about having a bank account, which, you know, I put everything I into doing where I go. When I go out there, you know, it's $800, $1,000 round trip. Gas, eating. And that's not even knowing what's going to happen, you know, out there day to day, and it's always something because you move one place to another, everybody needs some help. And I do what I can, you know, and I will continue to do that. You know, and that's what, you know, I believe in the American Indian movement for what it stands for. I can't say I stand behind everybody that is in the movement, but I do believe in what it stands for, and that's what I stand for.
Right on. And me and Philip, we're the same way.
Yep.
Philip, you know Philip, he's director of Ohio, AIM. You guys met each other, didn't you?
We met.
Yeah, and
hear your voice,
you know, the
again.
You know the good thing you mentioned. You mentioned Julian and Jennifer Blackout. She's on the line too from. She's calling from Colorado. She's Oglala, and she's descendant of Blackout, the real Blackout. Anyway. The thing is, you know, what I like about over here, Julian, even in wintertime and things like that, sometimes we run across issues, you know. And I can go down my Uncle Crow Dog's, and he's still got his tree up, and he's got this big rock there, round rock. I can still go to his tree and pray, you know, and maybe sing a song out there and go pray on that big rock, you know, and feel good after I leave. I can do that any time of the year, any time. And same way with the other sun dances. One of my uncles had a sun dance on the hill over at Spring Creek, and I was in ceremony, and they gave me, I shouldn't say it because Jennifer has a humane society after her, but I had some shunka, and the next day I went up there to that sundance tree and prayed with this, you know, and won't tell the whole story what I prayed with, but I had it, you know, and I was up there praying. We can still do that. And I brought some friends. They came from, California, and they were over here, and they were feeling kind of down, having issues, and they were down here, so I happened to be going down, so we went down to my Lexi Crow Dogs, and I took them to the tree, and they prayed, and thereafter that, some better things happened to them, you know. I took them same way, prayed at the tree, so we have this all the time, and if you come anytime, Julian, I sure would happy to see you and, you know, go one of these places and, you know, we can pray any place we want. We can go to any sweat. We can go to any, we can also go to still to these sundance trees. They're right there. That's what I like about the rest, because we keep our trees in place, you know. Well, some people take them out. I don't know why. I never understood that way, but all of the people I know, they leave the tree there all year round. You can go pray and even tie flags there, tobacco ties, you know, and that tree is still powerful, you know. So that's what I like about being over here, you know. And anybody, you too, Philip, any of you come, you know, come over and want some prayers or just be, you know, like you said, the city's right there. Julian, I was with Philip. I went to go see him in Cleveland, you know, outside of Cleveland. And I know he lives in that environment too, where he has to go find a place to go out and be away from society. And he does it. He goes out, checks eagles and stuff, you know. So being native, we got to find these places all the time, you know. And I sure hope you come, you know. And
I'll get out there. And another hard thing is when you're trying to find these places, it's is it the right people or somebody just putting up as a big front? You know, and then you come to find, oh, man, I really shouldn't have went to this person because they're not really who they say they are. You know,
yeah.
Over the past 6 years since Standing Rock, I see a lot of people that use natives just as a stepping stone to further their own personal look or how people perceive them. You know, and you see that a lot, unfortunately. You know, you've seen it a lot out at Standing Rock. You know, probably about 75-80% of the people weren't who they said they were. You know, and I continue to see that. And even with the MMIW things, you see people using that, you know, for their own personal gain or reasons, you know, and not for the right reasons. And when I find that out, I choose not to support those people anymore.
It's just like,
you know,
getting in the car with the wrong person, you know. That's the
yeah.
same, just like you said. That's like you go over there, you got to be careful who you get in the car with. You know, they might have a good smile. They might act like, you know, everything, but look, they could do anything to you, you know. So I understand what you mean, you know. And over here, the people, you know, I know our medicine man and our spiritual leader. So I'm like you when I go someplace else, you think I should crawl in that sweat, you know. And, yeah, I'll do it and just keep my mouth shut. But, you know, I'm like you. And sometimes I see strange stuff and hear some strange talk in these places, you know. And I'm shocked by what I see out there. But I'm happy over here. I know everybody, and I know where I'm getting, you know, where I'm crawling into sweat or are going, you know. And I understand when you're out there in that world, you never know who somebody is, you know. You never know their motive
I'm fortunate also, growing up on my reservation here, you know everybody. You know their grandparents, their great-grandparents. You know, but even though most of those people here have died off, you know, our elders and stuff, and there ain't really many people who do anything the traditional ways out this way, and you know, it's just a hard thing, you know, let alone to pass on to your kids or your grandkids, you know. And then, you know, maybe you have the people, you know, they're arguing of, well, you don't do it right, well, you know, you're not doing it right, you know. And then, you know, I was fortunate, I had a father and he worked, and at that time it seemed like people were arguing and bickering who was doing it right, you know, or bringing in another family from another state and intermingling the two spirits together. You know, my dad said, no, you ain't got time for that. You're going to work, which I was fortunately to have that because, you know, it gave me a good work ethic, you know. But I always watched, you know, sitting on the hill listening to them singing in the sweat and different things and, you know, always waiting, oh, someday my time will come. But that time never really came because they all died off, you know, by the time I came out and was able to get more involved. But my father kind of kept me away from all that because, you know, he was just about work, you know, and I can't complain about that. You know, I wouldn't be who I am if it wasn't for the way my father raised me. And I appreciate that,
exactly.
Even though he was pretty hard on me.
My dad, too, you know. It's good to, you know, have fathers and mothers, you know. They gave us all our attributes, you know, and maybe some of them weren't traditional. Maybe they taught us how to survive in a non-traditional life. Like us, they moved us to California on relocation. They hauled a bunch of Indians off the res. And so my mother and father had to help us be live down there, you know, with that societies down there. So they were my parents. My father, every summer, used to send me back to live with my grandma. And I'm really happy he did that today. At the time, I didn't like it. How come I always got to go back to South Dakota, you know? How come you don't send Bonnie? How come you don't send Freddie? Why am it me, you know? I'm always wondering why it's me all the time, you know? You know, but every summer I'm going to South Dakota, you know, and now I really thank my father for doing that because I had the connection here, you know. So, you know, even when I was small, like later on, go down Crow Dogs and go down this Medicine Man and stuff, you know. I knew what that all meant, you know. I knew what, and my grandma always sit in there and do beadwork or sewing. And while she's doing this, she's singing Lakota songs, you know. And I didn't learn the songs, but I heard them, you know. So when I got older and started getting into it, oh, man, I know that song. So I fell right into it, you know. So I'm proud and happy that my father at least did that, even though I didn't like it, you know. I don't regret it now, but I remember, we got to go to town. I even wanted to hide so they don't put me on the bus, you know. I remember riding the Greyhound bus and it stopped in Victorville. I almost jumped out one time, you know.
Oh, you might not have got out almost, of Victorville.
Yeah. Bus stopped. I said, man, I should bail out here and hitchhike back to my homeboys, you know. But now I went back to the res, and I really happy that my father did that. That was wise that he did that for me. It was a gift to me, and at the time I didn't appreciate it, you know.
I hear you on that. And if you give me a moment, I just want to say, you know, I'm here in Southern California, and if there's anybody in a situation stuck somewhere or needs some help, don't hesitate to call me. I'll do what I can for somebody who's in a situation that could be bad for them. You know, I just want to put that out there, you know, because we had, things happened a few times, but, you know, if anybody's ever in trouble and needs something or, you know, a place to stay or get picked up, you know, I'm always available.
Well, I thank you, and I know you're telling the truth, you know, and I'm really happy that my niece got home, you know. I'm really happy, you know, and like I said, good people that you can count on, you know, instead of people you can't count on. You know, if you think about it, that's funny. It's kind of funny that somebody could do a certain things, you know, but I mean, that's serious, but it's funny that there's people out there that can just dump somebody and just go on like nothing's wrong, you know. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. So, well, there's a lot more into that. That's even, you know, that's just not right about it. But, you know,
We
ain't got too much time left on the show. I'm not sure it was spoken of before. I'll listen to it tomorrow and see what I missed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I kind of let myself go a bit. But, you know, I do people a favor. I didn't mention no names. You know, I don't mention names, but I could, because they sure in the hell was mentioning my name, you know. They sure was doing stuff, but that's the kind of people they are. I could really do what I want, you know. There's nothing stopping me except my own morals and my own respect I have for myself and for my people, because I know, it's just like my niece said, I'm not like them. And no matter what, I'm not going to be that way. So no matter what happens, she stayed herself with her own dignity, you know. And I'm the same way.
And that's important. And that's important, especially if you go around. You know, I mind my P's and Q's, and I've done that all my life. I've lived my life like I'm building a court case. You know, I never know when I'm going to be sitting there and have a jury looking at me. But, you know, and that's everywhere I go. You know, I always try to watch out who I hang out with, what I do, because I don't want people pointing their fingers at me.
They say nobody's perfect
than what I was in my past.
But we got to try like hell to be perfect. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, well, I don't know what perfect is in this time and age anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you're doing a pretty good job yourself, Julian, and you know, I mean, I'm sure Wakan Tonka knows that, you know. You're living life in the way we're supposed to be living, you know. It's not meant for us to be no angels.
I was fortunate enough to go to paradise and be in a naming ceremony with Crow Dog, you know.
Oh, did you?
Maybe one of his last opens. Yeah, and I was fortunate to be there. And I respect that enough to carry myself even better every day, knowing that I was there and that I could talk about it. Because if I wasn't comfortable with myself, I couldn't mention that I had been there, you know. But I respect a lot of that family and what they do. Yeah, I was invited, and it was something special. And not knowing that it was going to be, you know, possibly one of his last open ceremonies.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm glad you got a chance to participate in that because, you know, I really miss him. And like I said, all year long, summer is short, but all year long I used to visit, you know, with him, you know, because, you know, in the wintertime we're not busy. We see each other, you know, and that's how it was with him and the family. You know, go. So I really miss him, and I'm glad that you had a chance, you know, to witness the importance of this man, you know.
Yeah, well, even fortunate enough to have other people there, I don't know if his equals or below him, and listen to them speak on what they all had to say, and his really appreciated words that I had heard there. You know, just about a simpler life, but rough. But, you know, we all have it rough, and sometimes we make it rough for ourselves, even when it doesn't have to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, really, thank you, Julian. And, hey, Philip, you got any last comment? I have to make it quick.
Actually, just wanted to say it was a really great show tonight. Really good to hear my brother Julian. Hope you and your family are doing well. Continued blessings to you, to Jennifer, and to you, Wombly.
Well, I'll stay. And Jennifer.
Same here. I'm very honored to be here with you guys. And I'm glad to know you, Richard. So whatever. Bad about you. You know, I didn't hear anything on my feed, thank goodness, but I have a mouth too, so I don't know. So
well, thank you.
You have to be kind of be careful
that.
They get right in.
hey Layla. You know, I know you're there.
So I have to give my endorsement of my brother Wombly, if I may. He talks about spirituality, but to everyone who's listening, he is to me beyond spirituality because when I'm around him, he takes me to the supernatural. No one else does that. So his one of my heroes.
All right, with that, hey, Julian, any last comment? We're going to have to roll.
Nah, man, just keep being that hero with that fried red cape you wear.
All right, thank you, guys. Lila Wopila Sanka Dosha Ke. We got to run now, so, you know. And
good things happen when you have an environment of commitment and dedication. Not just talked about, but lived. Lessons of our past. Issues of our future.
Okay, we learned a lot in school about 1492, Columbus sailed, the ocean blue, and all that stuff. But you know what? There were Africans before Columbus, and we've got Dr. David Imhotep to tell us his history lesson that we need to know. Welcome, Dr. Imhotep. And I should say, you have a PhD in ancient African history.
That's correct.
And that's kind of unusual.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So congratulations on that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. How did you get interested in this area?
It was part of my dissertation led this way, but I could not vary to another subject when my other subject here. So I said, later on, I will write something about that because it's not important in my dissertation at this moment. So that's why I did the book as soon as I finished my dissertation.
Wow, and we should say, and we have a picture of the book, too, and it's the first Americans were Africans, and we were talking about Dr. Ivan Van Sertima because I remember back in the 1980s, my dad took me to hear him. He came here to Cincinnati, and his book was They Came Before Columbus, and he talked about you know, how Africans were here. He had a lot of, I mean, great research information, and so it was just kind of eye-opening, but we don't, we haven't heard a lot about that recently, so tell us how you got involved here.
Well, I'm showing that Africans not only came before Columbus, they came before the Indians.
So you're going even farther back.
I'm going farther back, at least 56,000 years old.
Okay, now we've got a graphic up here about 130,000 years ago.
Yeah, well, they sailed over here. And when I lecture, people say, well, wait a minute, humans weren't sailing, let alone they were boating 130,000 years ago. And I beg to differ. Last year, New York Times quoted the BBC, and they wrote an article on how in Crete they have found a stone industry, stone tools, going back to at least 130,000 years. And Crete has been an island in the middle of the Mediterranean for 5 million years. So they had to sail, and it was a continuous civilization, which means they were going back and forth. They knew how to navigate. So if they got to Crete 130,000 years ago, it's easy 70,000 years later that they could make it to the Americas at 56,000 years ago.
Right. That's really, now how did you even get back to this research? I mean, this is just, you know, did you start by reading They Came Before Columbus, and then you expanded on that research?
Yes. You see, that was 36 years ago, Dr. Van Sertima's book came out, and this information is piled on for 36 years. So many different things, so many cutting-edge articles and things have been found since then.
Yeah, and so what's the reaction you get when you talk about how Africans came here even before Native Americans?
People are amazed. They're shocked. They're shocked. First comes shocks, and then they're smiling, and some frown, of course.
And then, you know, and what about the school systems? Because, you know, have we gotten this information to the educational system?
Not yet. The only book has only been out for a month and a half.
And what kind of feedback are you getting, though, when you go around and talk about this? I mean, I'm assuming you're doing lectures around the country.
Yeah, well, I always bring my peer-reviewed articles.
Okay.
Because my thesis, which is the same as my title, The First Americans Were Africans, is backed up by 7, soon to be 8, peer-reviewed journal articles. This is the height of academia.
Wow. And so you've got credibility. I mean, people can see this research. What do you think? Do you think this is going to change history at all?
Well, for hundreds of years in Europe, people thought the world was flat, and it took a while for them to be able to say the world was round in order to go out there and navigate and see that it was indeed round. So it's going to take a little while for them to get around this, but it will happen.
Well, and tell us a little bit about these Africans who came before the Indians, before Columbus.
Okay, they came here, and they were first, Pedra Furita, which is northeastern Brazil. And you'll see that that's the closest point from Africa to South America. And by canoe, a navigator who was a doctor wanted to prove that it could be done just in a canoe. And he set out in a canoe with a supply ship, but it did not touch him. He had a canoe with no oars, no paddle, no sail, nothing. He just sat there, and the currents took him straight from Africa to here. You've heard about people, if you throw a bottle in the water with a note, it'll come over. There are rivers in the ocean, currents, and it took him 52 days only. So you put a large sail on that vessel, and you get here in less than a month.
So it's definitely possible. We know that. It's physically possible.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so what part of Africa were the Africans from who came to Brazil?
Well, the DNA, Genome Project has found that the earliest ones, the ones that they found in Tierra del Fuego, in the very tip of South America, in 1874, 1876, were the short Africans, the Khoisan, who spoke with clicks like that. The gods must be crazy that a movie on
that. Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Yes. So they have
about the Coca-Cola bottle that fell in,
Yes, they have the oldest DNA and the oldest language on the planet, and they were all over.
Oh, wow.
All over all three Americas. as well as Asia.
Well, have they done any DNA tests in Brazil to see that?
Yes, they have. The Genome Project went all around the world. There are 100,000 people participated.
Wow.
Taking DNA swabs.
And so first we know that it's possible to get over here by canoe, and second of all, the DNA from that group of Africans is in Brazil.
The most important thing, not to forget to ask me, well, I will tell you that, where do the Native Americans come from? Well, we've always been taught that they came across the Bering Straits from Asia. This is true, but they did not come until 3000 BC. There is no evidence of them coming before 3000 BC. So for 53,000 years, there were nothing but Africans in North, Central, and South America.
Wow.
When they come over 3000 BC, those two groups, the Africans and the Mongolians, get together, the Asians, get together, and their children are the Native Americans.
Wow.
This is why the Native Americans do not look Chinese. They are a little different than Chinese.
Right. Oh, that's, you know what, I mean, we need to learn. It makes a lot of sense,
yes.
Dr. Imhotep, and we need to learn our history.
Yes.
So I think it's fantastic that you've written this book, and I know people are wondering, how did they get the first Americans were Africans, documented evidence. I love this. And it's by Dr. David Imhotep. How do we get this book? I have a phone
number. Amazon.com.
Okay, Amazon.com.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's easy, Amazon.com.
Amazon.
And Jeff is saying, give us that phone number, too, to order the book, and I have 540-772-1943.
That is correct.
Okay, so that's another phone number, 540-772-1943.
Because I do presentations for the book as well, 155 presentations, and that's where my people get me through my website, which is historictruth.info,
okay.
historictruth.info. Okay, or they can just Google my name, David Imhotep.
And I was going to say, of course, we will link you to Dr. Imhotep through WLWT.com because people, universities, schools can call you to come and speak. This is really important research, and we need to know more about this.
Thank you so much.
So I can't wait to finish reading the book. This is great. The First Americans Were Africans by Dr. David Imhotep. Thank you so much for coming. You have
Thank
to
you.
Come back.
Thank you.
All right, stick with us. We'll be back in a moment with some calendar events.